following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Troy Aikman?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troyton's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon. You know, brothers. You know, I'm bacon.
I got
you know,
them.
I love bacon.
You're going
to
love this.
Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm going to whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Kill it, music. Stop. Just stop. Everything. Hold on. John, Hold on.
Where's the highlights?
Well, I got to take care of something.
Hello.
Jerry, it's John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour. Jerry, what the fuck is going on?
I'm sorry. Oh, hello there. Nice to talk to you. I'm not sure I understand your question, but look, I'm serious. It pays to have a sex tape of people that you talk with, you know, in case you're having any trouble. You understand?
No, I don't understand. Jerry!
You just can't go throwing everybody out of a helicopter. You know what I'm saying?
Jerry!
Anyway, what? Those pilots aren't supposed to get close enough so you can see them. We don't want to be rude or nothing.
Oh, my God.
What? Look, you're calling me way early here, Tom. I'm just coming out of the shitter.
Jerry, what's wrong? What is it? What is going on?
Everything in the morning is very important and wrapped around that shitter. But I don't think you called me up to ask about that.
I'm going
to
kill him, John. I'm going to kill him. Jerry, Stephen A. Smith always calls the Cowboys an what? Accident waiting to happen, and I'm starting to believe it.
Come on, Tom. Stephen A. Smith? I mean, come on, really? Oh, maybe I shouldn't have given you this phone number. Look here, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, hell, all them boys over at ESPN, those guys are like them little monkey toys that you bang the cymbals together with when you wind them up. They say whatever we tell them to. It's all part of the script. That way, when the Cowboys win Super Bowl 50, you see, it'll be the most amazing, colossal, stupendous thing that anybody's ever seen.
Oh, my
Tom,
Lord.
Tom, they're going to build a statue of me in Dallas that's 50 feet tall. Well, fact is, I already built it. But they're going to put it up.
I can't, Jerry, are you watching your football team? I mean, again, the accident waiting to happen. We tie the game, and what do? We turn around, we give up a special teams touchdown to fucking Dwayne Harris, of all people, and then what happens? Well, we stop, and we get the ball, and we fumble the punt. He fumbled the punt, Jerry.
Look, I understand that he fumbled the punt, but look, Cole Beasley's got them little tiny hands. It's absolutely amazing to me he can even hang on to a football, much less catch one. It really is. That's why I keep him on him, because he's such a funny-looking little fucker. You know, he makes me laugh in the locker room. I make him put on a little jester suit and jump around. And his wife sure is feisty. Look, man, he's tweeting to all them fans about her stupid husband. You should see the messages he's sending me on my phone. So, yeah, I'm watching the game, and they tell me when the cameras are coming so I can look all upset. But the fact is, up there, we're having all kinds of...
I'm sure you are. Yeah, I get it. I'm sure you are. Meanwhile, the team's down on the field inventing every new way they can to lose a goddamn football game. Now, Jerry, I'm going to be down there next weekend with my son, and this team and its leader better be fixed.
Well, now, Tom, I got to tell you, I'm detecting just a bit of sarcasm in your voice there. And I'm going to tell you, Greg Hardy is as much a leader that you think he is. I mean, hell, everybody around here knows that special teams coach is just a little pipsqueak with a big goddamn mouth, and every one of us have wanted to pop him at one time or another. Greg's just doing what we all want. I'll put it on my shoulders. If you want me to, I'll go out there and tackle Dwayne Harris. But, you know, the special teams coach didn't think of that beforehand, and we're gonna fix that. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Tom. I haven't forgot that you and your boy are coming down, and I want to tell you, Make sure you get here a little early. Watch that Greg warm-up. It is positively one of the most uplifting experiences of your lifetime. It's when he does his lunges, you'll think you're in football church.
I'll see you next week, Jerry.
Hey, Garrett, get over here and clean my ass.
A great leader, John. Greg Hardy. You know what? I think, hey, wait a minute. Chris Carter said it best.
Leadership, you know, can be bad leadership, but it can still be leadership.
There you go.
That's the way it is, man. Hey, I'm going to tell you. Oh, look, man. I personally, as a Redskins fan, I couldn't pick a better week to have a bye week. I could not pick a better week to have a bye week. Cowboys are up in flames. It's fun to watch.
Oh, my God. Well, Dez Bryant supposedly going to play this weekend, and then Tony Romo supposedly will be back next week. So I thought I was going to have to see Brandon Whedon and Terrence Williams, and it looks like we might get to see Romo and Dez after all.
Well, by then they should be 2-6. So it's a long, long road to hoe, as they would say. I'm going to stick with my boy Kirk Cousins. But that's all right. I understand. Dallas takes the national media by storm.
Oh.
And it's tough to blame him. Did you see the girl that works for a Monday morning quarterback behind Jerry while he's making his comments?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Her face said everything that the rest of us were saying. What? Really? What? An inspirational warm-up? What the hell is that?
I'm Tom. He's John. It is Bang Radio Hour number 263 coming up. Stephen A. is sick, John. He's sick.
Does that mean he's not going to be on for a week or something? I mean, that would be nice.
No, he's sick of me, and I'd take offense to it. But Daily Fantasy Sports is put on the world stage. We've got slimy underground soldiers in Michigan. And keep your staff in your hand, John. We'll get to all that coming up. But first, we gotta deal with another crying Cowboys fan besides me.
All right. Well, you're not crying too hard, I must say. Castic tweak when I can't even spell the shit right.
No.
I tried to tell you that Lucky Whitehead was the name of my favorite pimple, and I screwed it all up.
I saw that. It was hilarious.
I wrote Luxky Whiplash or some stupid shit.
That's right. I knew what you meant, but I knew what you meant.
Hey, it was the pimple I had the first time I got laid. I hoped it never went away.
I even told my wife, Heather, and she started cracking up. I said, look what John said.
And then right after that, you went, God damn it, Cole Beasley, shit.
All right. Well, you want to hear a Cowboys fan crying about this game. Now, who is? Do we know who this guy is?
No, I have no idea. Our buddy Daniel Shell, the Patriots bandwagon fan from Cleveland, he sent this to me first thing Monday morning.
Jesus, if I was from Cleveland, I'd jump on some bandwagon. all right, here we go. Here's a Cowboy fan after they lost the game last week.
No, I won't do it. No, I'm not. I will not be loyal to this old retarded ass team that you're getting paid to lose games. How the fuck do we lose that game, bro? No, I'm tired. I'm sick of this shit. No, I'm not about to be loyal to this old retarded ass team, man. Fuck this shit. Fuck. Fuck Jerry Jones. Fuck Carl Malone. He ain't even got shit to do with this shit, but fuck him too, because this shit, because that rhymes.
What? He said Carl Malone because it rhymes.
Rhymes. Hey, man, you got to keep your flow when you're crying in the fucking hallway. I mean, you know, if he would have gone one more extra fuck, I think it probably would have made the beat work a little better, but...
Oh, the...
Fuck.
He needs a side man. Somebody told me it was called a hype man week. I don't know. These but he needs a hype man standing beside him going, fuck.
I'm not about to be loyal to this old retarded ass team, man. Fuck this shit. The Cowboys, bro. I'm done with this shit, nigga. Not me. I'm tired of being loyal, bro. I feel like I'm being loyal to a broke ass hoe, bro. Real talk, bitch. Like I'm buying this bitch shit and she cheating on me. That's how I feel about these motherfucking Cowboys. Fuck them. Y'all better hop on board, bro. Nigga, everybody from Dallas, bro. Let's go be part of another team.
Oh,
everybody,
my God.
Everybody just pack your shit and on game day, let's go tailgate somewhere else. Fuck the Cowboys, bro. I hope so. No. Bitch, I swear to God, somebody needs to just blow that motherfucking stadium up, bro. Because they getting paid off our money. Bro, we taxpayers. We pay taxes.
So
and these
what?
Niggas up here, we paying to go to their games, and they losing games. They is losing games. They losing games on purpose. There's no fucking way they should have lost that fucking game, bro.
Purpose.
Fuck the Cowboys, nigga. I'm tired of this team.
Oh, why he do that?
What? Why he do that?
I think he finally heard himself. He finally heard what he was saying and how he sounded. And he went, oh. He pays taxes, Tom. There you have it, right there. It is confirmation of the Republicans' worst nightmare. It is the moocher right in front of you claiming he should be able to blow up the stadium because the Cowboys can't win.
Blow that motherfucking stadium up, bro.
It's a controsity. I agree.
I'm tired.
He's tired. He's tired, John.
He's tired.
I'm tired.
He's tired, and so is Karl Malone.
Oh, my God. Karl Malone.
Fuck Jerry Jones. Fuck Karl Malone.
Wow.
That was pretty funny, man. I like that. I thought the dude was pretty damn good. I wonder if he worked it out beforehand. I'm not sure. If he did, he's damn funny. He should be on Fox.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious. Fuck Fox. He should be on Fox. Not the news. He should be on, you know, like Tuesday night at 8:30.
Jesus.
Crying Cowboys fan.
Oh, fuck Jerry Jones. Fuck Karl Malone. Throw that guy a bone. Steal his phone. And leave him all alone.
I can't keep up with this. I'm not wired for it.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. So Greg Hardy. Let's stay on Greg Hardy here. Fox Sports One's Katie Nolan. Do you know who she is?
Oh, no, but I'll figure it out. Right. I'm sure I've seen her somewhere. They all run together.
Oh, she's a mouthy little bitch.
Okay, that explains it.
She's on.
Why?
She's on a Wednesday night show. She's got a Wednesday night show on Fox Sports 1 called Garbage Time. And, you know, she says the Cowboys are enabling Greg Hardy and encouraging his anger. Oh. They want him to be angry to get him to play football at a higher, more violent gear. That's
what does she think they're doing? Are they like, is this Texas? Do they have him in a little pen? And then right before the, you know, the after the punt, somebody jabs him in the balls with an electric cattle prod and sends him flying out onto the field? what the hell does she think they're doing? Are they in the locker room saying, look, we've got your mama. She's in the showers tied up. Jay Ratliff's going to come and see her if you don't play well.
Ah, shit.
What does she think this? I mean, really, they're keeping him angry. They don't feed him. They keep him in a cage like a chow chow, you know, in the old days. Way back in the old Chinese days, they'd keep those chow chows in there. And when anybody got close to the village, they'd open the cages. These things hadn't eaten in a month.
Jason Garrett says, hey, let's piss Hardy off. Let Dwayne Harris return the kickoff for a touchdown.
Right. What is that? Hey, we're going to sacrifice the special teams coach, okay? We're going to just set him out there to the defensive end god, and we're going to get him eaten.
Right. Well, Katie, first off, all right, this is ridiculous. First off, and we talked about this last week, the guns a-blazing comment that he made, that Greg Hardy made last week, and here's what she said about that.
Hardy, facing the media for the first time, said he'd like to come out guns blazing. That's baffling to me. How do you let that comment happen? Oh, I'm sorry, not just let it happen, publish it on the league's official website, endorsing it with your precious shield, which, oh, I noticed has a pink ribbon on it this month because you care about women. That's cool. Thanks.
Look, you know, I can understand exactly where she's coming from, but I also know about reality, and in reality, talent gets a pass. It always does. They saw, you know, he said he was sorry. No, he didn't, but
Hold on. This is just about that comment, because this is what irritates me is that we have tons of sayings in this country.
I was going to say, how many sayings left?
Like guns a-blazing. But like guns a-blazing. We talked about it last week, and I
it's a saying, yeah.
I can't take someone serious who takes that comment serious, because it just means to come out playing hard, and she's being way overly dramatic about it. I mean,
right.
If she hates Hardy, if she hates him because of his past, that's fine. Then just say that. I get it, and I would respect that, but to pick out that comment and make it out to be something it isn't is just silly.
That's what we do. All you have to do is take something like that where everybody knows what he means. All right, and say, okay, well, this is why we have such violence in the country, because of phrases like this.
Well, here, now she's really going to go off on a tirade about him.
Another reporter asked if Hardy looks forward to playing teams such as the Jacksonville Jaguars and whether he finds their quarterback, Blake Bortles' significant other, attractive. Christ, guys, enough. I see this in my timeline next to a story about Stedman Bailey being fined by the league for pretending to take a nap on a football in the end zone, and it's just like, what are we doing? What matters to you? Seriously, what matters to you?
What matters to you, John? Touchdowns! That's what matters, and we know it. Ugh! Right? Can you play? That's what matters. I mean, you know, I get exactly what she's saying, and I completely agree. It's no sense to me why they fine some guy for making a small tribute on his eye black. Oh, who the hell was it this week? I think it was the... Who the fuck was it? Got fined this week because he put a tribute to his father on his eye black stickers. Jesus Christ, nobody in the frickin' stadium can read it. Except the coach who's yelling at him. What's that saying on your eye black?
That was Cameron Hayward did that. Put Ironhead on there.
Maybe Ironhead's his new nickname.
Well, Ironhead was his dad, Ironhead Hayward.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, yeah, but that's my point. Maybe he could just say to the league, that's my nickname. They're going to say, no, you can't do anything on your own eye black. And yet, see, what I don't get about them being so strict about uniforms where they can be so freaking ridiculous is that one guy can wear really messy grease paint eye black and it just can be slappy all over his face like Julian Edelman. It's just a mess. The guy took absolutely no time putting it on and it looks it and he's on television. Or you can have a guy with really neat stickers. Dude, it's just chaos. I can't take it. I'm serious. This NFL, I mean, how can they let this kind of discord go on?
Let's hear more, Katie.
Okay.
Because expecting a garbage human who has been punished for being garbage to come back from his suspension and not immediately resume being garbage is asking the bare minimum. And if me hoping that the league and the Cowboys and their PR people and the media could act with just a shred of human decency is ruining football for you, then I'm disappointed, I guess, in how much we're willing to accept in order to protect our precious Sundays.
Well, we are willing to accept a lot to protect our precious Sundays. I mean, we will accept a whole hell of a lot. That's pretty obvious.
I mean, look, I hate to sound belittling or anything like that, or I'm not making fun of her or anything, because I completely agree with her. But let's face reality. We love our football, and we put up with a lot. I mean, a lot. Dude, there's real talk out there right now. You know how we always say that the NFL cannot possibly be fixed? It's ridiculous when people say that shit. Well, now they're saying things like, see that play like Chris Johnson sitting down on a guy and then running 60 yards after 3 seconds of sitting there? They're saying that the refs are letting the stars get away with a little bit extra stuff, so fantasy points will go up, so the casual fan that doesn't really care gets more into it. Freaking DraftKings, FanDuel, it's everywhere, and they own that shit.
All right, hold on. I don't want to get into that because we're going to talk about that at length coming up in the second half of the show.
Good. I got a rant coming on, I feel it.
Okay. Anyway, she thinks that Greg Hardy needs help. You know, I guess she means like anger management, therapy, whatever. She says the guy needs help. I don't know. But, you know, it's funny. You talk about the eye black. He paints his face up like the old Minnesota Viking defensive lineman used to do.
Randall,
yeah, yeah.
You know who was Joseph Randall? Yeah. NFL, I can't take it, man. I'm serious. It really detracts from the entire game when somebody can completely do something on his own like that. Like, you know, wear purple shoes to commemorate your mother and bring awareness to the violence that killed her.
It's ridiculous. Now, Stephen A. Smith, he's not sick of Greg Hardy. He's just sick of Cowboys fans. Here he is with Skip Bayless and the coach on ESPN2's First Take.
I am so sick of the Dallas Cowboy fan base. I can't stand y'all. I just can't stand. Y'all literally act like y'all want something. Y'all are so far gone from reality. You have done nothing for 20 years. You went to the playoffs last year. You won a division title. That's what you regressed to. We used to talk about Dallas Cowboys with championships. We used to talk about them with championships. Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith, who I love dearly. And I respect.
Okay.
He loves them.
He does. He is talking about the Cowboys for a second. There, I thought he was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles fans, the way it sounded like, acting like you won something before. You know,
he loves him some Emmitt Smith.
He does.
Crack the hell out of Troy Aikman as well.
I love him. Come back to reality, Tom.
Johnson, I mean, come on now. We used to talk about the Cowboys as champions. Now we celebrate them for winning a division. Did y'all just, and y'all act like y'all won the Super Bowl. Y'all just make me sick. I can't stand y'all.
How about them Cowboys?
I can't stand y'all.
How do you really feel, Stephen A?
Coach, I'm telling you right now, it makes me sad to I love doing this show, but it makes me sad to have to look at this man talk about these Cowboys. They ain't won nothing. They haven't won anything, man. Oh, they,
Stephen A.
No,
just no, go
let's
ahead.
Let's wrap Coach, this up.
Just go ahead, man. Great.
Do what you do.
Oh.
Go get it.
Do what you do.
I can't Skip. Even do radio. The same Cowboys fans, they talk to, they take skips and they bring it to the radio. Mm-hmm. This is what they, I can't take it.
You got
Y'all
fan
haven't
base.
Won
I'm telling
anything.
You.
He's just saying the obvious. He's saying what we all think. The only people that don't know this are y'all.
I can't stand y'all. Y'all just make me sick.
Oh, Stephen A., come on now.
If I'm you, at least you're not having whole tribes of people, you know, protest you every game. So
Right.
Feel better. Right. Feel better about that. But really, I'd be worried about him coming to my house. I might take that as a threat. He is sick of y'all.
Boy, he is.
I can't take it.
I understand.
You have done nothing.
All right.
The best thing was, is in that segment, for one, he's not there. They have like this television screen sitting on the damn desk like he's there.
I know.
What the hell is that? You know? And the other, well, like, of course, obviously Skip Bayless, the, you know, the Cowboys homo. I mean, Homer. And Herman Edwards.
Right.
So it's like the triumvirate of crazy.
Exactly. Do you watch Big Bang Theory?
Occasionally.
Did you ever see the episode where Sheldon did that? He had the robot with the computer screen with his picture, or he was on in the screen, and he'd stay in his bedroom and send the robot out.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh God. Yeah. It was like this little robot would run around on wheels with a computer screen on top of it, and the computer screen, it was Sheldon. He's from home. You know what I mean? So he didn't have to leave the house.
Oh, hey, that sounds pretty good to me. It's probably the safest way to go to a football game these days.
Keep from getting a cold.
Tilliard's got a cold. That's why we don't have the update this week.
Fuck you, Tilliard. I have a cold. I'm sick as shit, but I'm here.
Yeah, and I think personally I'd like to hear what Tilliard sounds like with a cold.
Right.
You put your vapor rub on, John! Hello, everyone, and welcome to the official Bang Radio Hour NFL predictions for Week 8. I'm your host, Harry Sphincter. With the possible discovery of an alien structure, NASA officially declares that the Falcons' schedule is the easiest in the entire universe. Atlanta over the hapless Bucks, 27-7. Finally answering the age-old question, the Bears prove that they shit in wide-open football fields as well as in the woods. The Vikings trounce Chicago, 34-13. In yet another embarrassing moment, Detroit Lions' new offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, leads revenueers on a slapstick car chase after sideline Gatorade buckets are found full of moonshine. The Chiefs beat the sober Lions, 26-23. All right, everyone, check your tickets. Section 231, Row D, Seat 32. You win the chance to make the weekly I'm So Sick of Losing video while leaving Cleveland Stadium. The Cardinals roll the Browns, 33-20. St. Louis police have focused their murder investigation on running back Todd Gurley after cleat marks in the 49ers defense match the shoes found in his locker. Rams smacked San Francisco, 27-3. In an impressive display of leadership, after Matt Cassel's third fumble, Greg Hardy beats up the ball boy. Seahawks defeat the Cowboys, 24-14. After a lengthy study, physicists at MIT have definitively concluded that the Giants' owner John Mara is a giant fucking douchebag. The Saints win at home, 30-27. The Green Bay Packers announced that rotund running back Eddie Lacy is expected to play, despite breaking free of his moorings and drifting for 150 miles before crashing into a field in Pennsylvania. The Broncos win, 24-21. Soon after ruining everyone's breakfast, the World Health Organization has warned that the Cincinnati Bengals going 7-0 also causes cancer in laboratory mice. The Steelers must save us all, 36-34. As disaster unfolds, Texas Governor Rick Perry orders the National Guard to Houston to free people trapped watching the Titans and Texans game. The Titans win, 24-6. Citing the Raider way, Oakland owner Mark Davis pays off the bus drivers to take the Jets to the wrong stadium. The Raiders win a close one, 24-22. Remember, if you use these picks for gambling purposes, you're an idiot.
There are three things I have learned never to discuss with people: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin.
Ding dong, the witch gives head. Witch old witch, that fat white bitch. Ding dong, the wicked witch gives head. Ha ho, the merry old, down on her knees and there she blows. Ding dong, that wicked witch gives head. Gives head, just listen what I said. That wicked witch gives head. She ain't too cute, but oh man, she got a nice booty. Ding dong, the witch gives head.
Witch old witch,
that fat white bitch. The wicked, wicked witch gives head. Ding dong, the witch gives head.
VOTech.
VOTech. For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Trick or treat!
First off, it's Halloween. I don't get this holiday at all. Every other day of the year, parents tell their kids, don't take candies from strangers. But on October 31st, they send their kids to every pedophile's door so they can eat their rupee-laced lollipops. Look, we all know what Halloween is really about. It's an excuse for women to dress in skimpy outfits. So from now on, let's call Halloween what it actually is. Dress like a whore day.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Hey, this is Rob Zombie, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
That's it. Kirk Cousins takes a knee.
Game over. Redskins come back from a 24-0 deficit to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a comeback.
Man, that was a hell of a comeback, John.
Biggest one in team history. A team that is one of the original founding teams of the NFL, I might add. And that's why Tilliard's sick. That's why he's sick.
That's why he's sick.
He doesn't have a cold. It just hurts him in his heart watching that happen to his team.
Oh, like you see John pounding his chest over, went over on just a juggernaut like that, boy. Woo!
You like that, John. You like that.
Yeah. Well, I know Kirk Cousins likes that. I saw that vine.
You like that? Yeah. You like that?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. You know what? And they gave him hell around here for that shit. And it's like, dude, what do you want him to do when he comes off the field? That was the biggest comeback in team history.
Hold on.
The Redskins go back almost as far as the Bears.
I know. Wait a minute. Back up. People were mad at Kirk Cousins for that?
Dude, they get upset at anything the quarterback does.
Oh my God.
If he stands up and pisses in the urinal, half the people in this town go nuts thinking he should sit down so he doesn't injure himself on a wet floor.
Dude, that right there.
You like that?
Fire.
You like that?
His team, I guarantee you, his teammates fucking love that.
Hell yeah. That's fire. You know? You need that. That's leadership right there.
Exactly.
You know, it can be bad leadership, but it's still leadership.
Hey, no, you put music to that. You celebrate that.
You like that? Yeah. You like that?
That's the best use of Casey and the Sunshine Band there has ever been.
Fantastic.
Hey, you want full disclosure? In 1980, I saw them at the Capitol Center, like the 20,000 seat arena outside of Washington. No, on a Toys for Tots show. They opened up for Foreigner, and Hall & Oates was there too. I paid like $5 to get.
Oh my God! Well, I can tell you this: in 1990
right.
something, I can't even remember which, I can't remember exactly, it was in the 90s, I was working for some top 40 radio station, and we did this throwback weekend, And we had Casey and the Sunshine Band in a concert.
Oh my God.
This was in the 90s, you know? Oh my God. Watching him do all these disco moves in that disco outfit at his age was ridiculous. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, when I saw them, like I said, this was 1980. I was like 17 to go see Foreigner, right?
Uh-huh.
When I saw Casey and the Sunshine Band, after like the first song, he dropped the microphone, but I could still hear him. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. So we went out on the concourse and played pinball.
Man, you know, there was a concert that was just here like 2 weeks ago. It was Def Leppard, Foreigner, and Night Ranger.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, you know, the nostalgia shit. Pretty soon they're all going to be on PBS. You know how it'll be. They'll all be out on the stage for one song. Two of them will be people that are like, that's joined on because guy died. You know how it is.
Jesus. Oh, man, that's like Night Ranger. Wow.
I got Night Ranger story. We should do a whole podcast of concert stories. I'm sure we've got a million of them. I got a good one for way back in the day.
I have tons. All right. You know what? I just want to hear that one more time. Oh, what the hell am I doing celebrating a Redskins quarterback?
Well, Jesus. We're getting ready to go play the Patriots. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. Thanks, John Mara, you cheating bastard.
Well, yeah, Miami just played the Patriots, and the honeymoon there didn't last too long. But Bill Belichick, this is classic. Classic Bill Belichick. He's still not happy.
Oh, man, you got to be ready to play situational football. We did some, you know, good things situationally at the end of the game. And some things that weren't so good, things could have been better. So that's always important. You know, overall, we've got to do a better job. We had a better job at everything. Coaching, playing, all the situations. I mean, you name it. There's plenty of things we can improve on from tonight.
We got to play better situational football.
Oh, my God. We got to do a better job of holding on to our 30-point lead at the end of the game there. I'm telling you, when he walks off the field into the tunnel, he grabs some orderly and says, go get me speech number three. You know, get in the file. Get me speech number three.
Dude, they're ridiculous, man, the Patriots. They make it look so easy.
Maybe it is, because how does Deion Lewis from the 15-yard line have the whole middle of the field to catch a 2-yard pass and walk into the end zone? What the hell are they trying? Is Gronkowski that scary? He is. But
yeah.
If he's that scary, why is he always so fucking wide open?
I don't know. You ought to put your best cornerback on the guy.
You can't. Because, see, here's the thing. This is what I'm hoping for this week. Because the Redskins are going to get smoked by the Patriots. But I hope they're watching to see how they use Gronkowski to set himself up in mismatches to be able to exploit people that can't run with him. By the time he catches the ball, dude, he gets 3-4 steps before anybody gets near him. And by then, he runs over everything.
It's unbelievable.
I hate him. But shit, we got a guy that could potentially be something like that. So I hope they're watching how they get him mismatched up. I mean, the linebackers can't run with him. Safeties can't tackle him. Cornerbacks, they might be able to run with him. But once he catches the ball, he's just going to throw him down like a rag doll.
How sad would it be if the Patriots go 18-0 and lose the Super Bowl to the fucking Giants?
I'd be freaking heartbroken. The Giants? Did you have to go there? Can we go someplace else?
I know, man, but you know what? You know how they are. And now they get JPP back.
Oh, yeah. The nine-fingered wonder.
Jesus.
Yeah, where's it eight? How many did he lose?
They call him Mr. 4th of July. That's what they call him now.
That's pretty cool. You know what I would... I'm telling you, if I'm an offensive lineman, I'm stomping on his hand every chance I get.
Well, I don't know. You're not going to stomp. What's going to hurt? It ain't going to hurt.
Who the hell knows? I don't know. I haven't lost a finger. We'll find out.
I know. There's nothing there. There's nothing there to stomp on.
Somewhere down in the middle of that stump is some shit that's not supposed to be exposed the way it is.
All right. We'll find out. Hey, I just wanted to play this clip real quick. The coach of the Cleveland Browns, you know, the Mike Cleveland Patton. Browns.
You are a factory of sadness!
Yes, but Mike Pettin, the coach, he's going to take care of that sadness. He's going to make everybody happy. He has the formula, John. Mike Pettin has the...
Free ice cream?
He's got the formula for beating the Cardinals this week. Listen to this. Yeah, listen to this.
I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity this weekend to face the Cardinals in our building. We have to be better for longer.
We have to be better for longer.
We have to be a magnificent bottom, Tom.
Gay!
You know, when I thought, when you said he's got the formula for success, I thought maybe what he was going to do is pay off their bus drivers to drive them on the other side of town. Take them out down the other side of town.
Oh, my God.
I'm very much looking forward to the opportunity this weekend to face the Cardinals in our building. We have to be better for longer.
You are a factory of sadness!
Hey, you remember a year ago when Chris Cooley, I think we talked about it on the show, when Chris Cooley said he didn't want to be traded to Cleveland. There's no way he wanted to be in Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay, guess who's doing the game for Fox up in Cleveland? Chris Cooley's going to be the color guy. It's his first ever opportunity to do any television.
Oh, really? Send that son of a bitch to Cleveland.
That's what they did. They sent him to the Cleveland game.
Oh, man, that's great.
That's pretty cool. His sideline reporter is some hot chick, but she does NASCAR all the time. So there might be something funny there.
I haven't seen any of these boys change their shoes yet. They're going to be getting slick soon.
Well, there's probably one place worse than Cleveland, and that's Michigan. And so Jim Harbaugh up there in Michigan, John, he don't give a damn about, you know, if this and if that. And this is what he had to say about it.
Not into the if this, if that type of scenarios. If worms had machine guns, then birds wouldn't be scared of them. We're looking to find our season over the next number of games that we play.
I know he meant then birds would be scared of them. That's...
Yeah, what the hell is that? Okay, so what you do then is you give the birds a flamethrower, you see, and that way it gives them an opportunity to smoke those worms out of the hole before their bullets can come out and shoot them.
Jesus.
And then you keep escalating, but the first thing you have to do is you have to invest in the arms companies.
I think that could be like a great movie or a cartoon or something. Worms coming up out of the holes with machine guns killing birds.
That's fantastic. Worms with machine guns sounds like the name of the Marshawn Lynch video game. Worms with machine guns. That's what we're going to call it. We got to call and see if he'll buy the idea. We can sell it to EA Sports. Worms with machine guns.
All right.
All the birds be scared.
All right, so Daily Fantasy Sports has got to be the hottest button in all of sports right now, John. I mean, this is, it's fucking everywhere. It's unbelievable. I mean,
they forced it down everybody's throats. I mean, they can't help it.
Wow, it is crazy.
I know. Seriously, every channel that there is, every station that there is, every podcast that there is except for this one is advertising this goddamn stuff.
I feel like somewhere in a back room, Jerry Jones is going, I own the fucking world.
This is fantastic. Look how many people picked up on that Kamir Aiken from Baltimore.
All right, so Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has already made clear he does not classify daily fantasy sports contests as gambling. Well, that's good because it's not, and I'm going to say that forever. Monday, he confirmed his support of Major League Baseball's partnership with DraftKings. He said, I'm quite convinced it is a game of skill as defined by the federal statute, and I'm comfortable with the idea that it's not gambling. Manfred told these reporters this in Kansas City right before the start of the World Series. He said, I think the thing that's important to remember is there's a huge difference between Rob Manfred, he's speaking about himself in third person now. He says there's a difference between Rob Manfred citizen betting on whether Kansas City beats Toronto or whomever on the one hand, and then Rob Manfred picking 9 guys off 18 teams to try to see if he can accumulate more points within a given set of guidelines than 100 guys trying to do the same thing. And he's right. He's absolutely right.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot more that goes into it. I mean, there is the aspect of random chance, you know. The guy might not do well, he might fumble, who knows, like this. But there, in laws of probability, there's certain things that are getting to be pretty standard, like Todd Gurley is going to romp all over whoever's in front of him.
Exactly. The only luck to me involved in fantasy football is your guy staying healthy.
Well, the draft, I think, has a bit of luck to it, but in these games, there's none of that anyway, because everybody can pick the same people all over the place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So the only luck would be bad luck that one of the players that you have on your roster gets hurt early in a game.
Right.
You know.
Right. Now, I think that the NFL could probably enhance the possibility of that. They see how many people bet on a certain player. And before you know it, you know, Todd Gillooly shows up with a goddamn pot tire iron and smacks him in the knee.
Right.
Actually, I think he died, didn't he?
I don't know.
That's a little old reference there.
Is he dead?
I think he did die. I know the fat guy that swung the pipe died.
Sounds familiar. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Who gives a fuck?
All right. So then, did you happen to watch the GOP debate Wednesday night?
I tried for a couple of minutes, but I was watching the World Series.
Well, you know, daily fantasy sports made its way into the debate.
Right.
Jeb Bush gets asked about it first, and then Chris Christie chimes in. This was great.
Governor Bush, daily fantasy sports has become a phenomenon in this country. We'll award billions of dollars in prize money this year. But to play, you have to assess your odds, put money at risk, wait for an outcome that's out of your control. Isn't that the definition of gambling, and should the federal government treat it as such?
Well, first of all, I'm 7-0 in my fantasy football league.
Yeah!
I had a feeling that's you were going to brag about
Gronkowski
that.
Gronkowski is still going strong.
He said Gronkowski's still going strong. Now, he said this Wednesday night. He had to be thrilled with last night's game.
Somebody's piping in his ear. His name is Gronkowski.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill, Marco, is my quarterback. He was 18 for 19 last week.
Well, he wasn't happy with Ryan. He wasn't happy with Tannehill on Thursday night. That's
not
for sure.
All. Although I bet he's probably laughing at the vine of the super slow motion of him watching that snap go right past him.
Great, but we're not gambling. And I think this has become something that needs to be looked at in terms of regulation. Effectively, it's day trading without any regulation at all.
Right.
Carl, are we really talking?
Okay, so this is Chris Christie interrupting. This is great. Listen to this. Right. Because this is exactly what I was saying a week ago.
Talking about getting
the government involved in fantasy football? We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us. And we're talking about fantasy football? Can we stop? Please, stop. So you're answering seriously. No, how about this? How about we get the government to do what they're supposed to be doing? Secure our borders, protect our people, and support American values and American families. Enough on fantasy football. Let people play. Who cares?
Right.
Well, then what the hell's his problem with people smoking pot? You know, fuck you, man. You know, it's just one matter of nobody's going to do anything about it. You know, I don't think that they can prove that it's not. You know, and I don't think there's anybody in Congress or the Senate or anywhere in the government already right now, except maybe the most whining wiener, that's going to even bother with it. Most of them play. Maybe they might not play DraftKings, but I guarantee you there's fantasy football leagues all over Capitol Hill.
Oh, hell yes. Look, Jeb Bush just said he's 7-0.
Shit, the freaking the House and the Senate are like 80% male. Fuck right. Yeah, they play fantasy football.
You know they do. And I again, who is it? Who is leading this charge against fantasy football? That's what I don't understand. Who is using their time and resources and our tax dollars to go after fantasy football like this? Why is it important? What is it you're trying to protect? They're trying to save me from myself, John. They want to keep me safe. They don't want me to hurt myself and get addicted to gambling. I mean, give me a break. You know what it is? They can't solve any real problems in this country, so they got to pick out something that they know they have some, you know, that they can fucking bully and pick on and say, "Oh, yeah, look what I did." What did you didn't do? Go do something real. Go do something fucking serious in this. We got real problems. Fix them.
Let me ask you this. If Obama drafts Tom Brady, does Mitch McConnell now think he sucks?
Yeah.
Does he have to like say Brian Hoyer's a much better player?
Oh yeah, you know it.
So it seems to me that the fantasy football that goes on Capitol Hill could be fun to play because there's a whole other level to it.
Oh yeah.
Whereas whatever I draft, you have to draft the opposite. Otherwise, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna out you.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I agree. It's just let people play, man. Why do they always have to? There's gambling all over the place. Anyway, there's real fucking gambling.
Right.
Okay, every state is starting to legalize this shit. All right. And they say, come on out and play. Everybody have fun and win money. Here's some hot chicks with big tits and come on out and win some money. If you have a problem, be called this number.
Well, it's funny, you know, because whenever they legalize stuff, they only do it. People only bend on things like this if they're going to get something out of it. Now, perfect example is here in Ohio. All right. Coming up here in Ohio on Tuesday, as a matter of fact, we got a big vote going on, John. We got a big,
oh, no shit,
big election day coming up on Tuesday here in Ohio. Do we legalize marijuana?
Oh, please do.
It's not just for medicinal. This is also for recreational use. Okay, that's number one.
It's fine by me.
That's number one. Number two, and this is the thing. Only 10 groups of people get to produce it.
Yeah, that's what they're doing all over the place.
Well,
are you allowed to grow your own in your basement?
No, you can grow your own. Yeah, you have to get a license.
Right.
And the license is cheap. It's like $50 a year or something like that. And you can grow, you can have up to 4 plants at a time growing or something like that. Okay.
Well, are they going to come inspect your house?
Well, I suppose, you know. You got? But, I mean, my God, if you're just growing for personal use and you can grow 4 plants at a time, so you could grow, you could grow a dozen plants a year probably at that rate, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if you're doing indoor hydro. So, my God, if you got a quality plant, you're going to get at least a half a pound out of a plant, right?
Oh, at least.
Okay, so let's say you grow 10 plants in a year, quality plants, and that's 5 pounds of weed. Who the hell smokes 5 pounds of weed in a year? I'm Snoop Dogg, maybe.
Nah.
You know, no, I mean, me. Jesus. Who? My me. God, that's
although, a if the guy I get it from listens to the podcast, he might add it up and tell me I'm wrong. I don't know.
All right, but the thing is, we have so what they're calling this, the fact that this would take a state constitution amendment here. It's called an oligopoly. Have you heard of an oligopoly?
Well, I know what the root of the words are, but go
monopoly.
Ahead.
Yeah, it's a monopoly, but it's these 10 groups. One of them is the Build-A-Bear Group.
Oh, really? They're going to be doing this at those little frickin'... They're going to be selling pot at those places that they have toddlers building teddy bears in the mall? Is that what you said?
I said Build-A-Bear, yeah. But no, I mean, just the group, the company. You know, they're going to...
It's a good place to start. Those kids are about 3 or 4.
They're going to own some fields here in Ohio. And then Nick Lachey.
Who's that?
Nick Lachey, he was the one that I think he was married to Jessica Simpson.
Oh, okay.
He was in one of them. What was he in? 98. He was some boy band. He was in some boy band.
Okay.
But he's from Cincinnati. He's from Cincinnati. So he's another one. Those two right there are 2 of the 10. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else can produce the marijuana. Now, anybody can open up a shop and sell it. Okay. And the license is like, the license is like 10 grand for a year. And then and then you're going to have the taxes as well.
Right.
They say though, it's not going to, because of the amount of the taxes, it's not going to be very lucrative. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. So you're telling me that 10 groups of rich people get to keep getting rich off of this and nobody else, you know, that's not America. I'm sorry. That's not America.
See what that is. That's poison pill, dude. They wrote that so that you can't possibly vote for it.
Well, no. They want this, but it's because of the people with the money who get to make more money. But here's the thing. So they got another issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's issue 3. Legalized marijuana, issue 3, and it's under this bill with the 10 groups of people that can produce and everything. Well, issue 2 says that you cannot have an oligopoly. That's what they did to them. So if issue 2 passes, it doesn't matter what happens with issue 3, it's dead.
Right?
There's another bill coming around next year,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people have been trying to educate people saying, do not vote for this bill. Make sure you vote no on issue 3. And next year, be patient. Wait one more year because the one on the ballot next year will be free enterprise for everybody.
Potheads, be patient, dude. 20 right. minutes is for the pizza. You know.
Well, I know, and that's what this group is. They're called Responsible Ohio. They're called Responsible Ohio, and that's the group behind this. And I believe that's what they're counting on is people going, I don't care, man. I just want it legal.
Yeah. See, it's win-win for that side of the argument. Assuming that some of those people in that 10 are part of that side of the argument, they win no matter what. They get their way where they can stop it elsewhere, and they reap all the money.
Right. Well, see, Colorado got it right.
Okay. Yeah, they do. They've got it right. They do have it right. And look, they're what? 5-0? 6-0?
No. Right. Okay, yeah, we've talked about that enough. One more thing I want to play for you is this voice of the L.A. Kings.
Okay.
His name's Bob Miller, and he has been the voice of the L.A. Kings since 1973, okay?
Okay.
And right. After I play it for you, you should go online and find it and watch it, because you have to see the look on his face when he immediately realizes what he just said here. Mm-hmm. Okay, right. This is great. So here's Bob Miller, voice of the L.A. Kings.
He's standing in front of the net with about 8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
Is this what you win if you get the puck through that little hole at halftime? You get to go stand over there and jerk off in the net?
8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
And you ought to see the face. You got to see the face that he makes right after he says it. Bob Miller, voice of the L.A. Kings. Oh, my God. It's priceless, man.
Is this a field trip? No, I can't open it right now. Oh, hell yeah. So this guy's been doing this for 42 years,
yep,
doing hockey with all these Russian – because you've heard me say this before. The guys that do hockey are the most amazing speakers in the world. I don't know how they do it. They never trip it up. They never trip it up, and they go a million miles an hour the whole damn time. So he's got to be 75 years old, you'd think, right? Maybe 70. He's been doing this for 42 years.
8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
I'm going to whip my ding ding out.
Well, now, that's not exactly true. I remember old Bob. He doesn't have 8 inches to put in his hand.
Oh, my God. See, I was going to say that my little sister Jenna likes the L.A. Kings. My little sister Jenna, who's 13 years old. But I'm not telling her that one. Maybe in a couple years. Here, Jenna, look at this. It's damn funny.
It is. All right. Well, I hate to say this, but we're going to be off next week.
Okay, cool. It's not Thanksgiving yet.
No, I'm going to Dallas.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Dallas.
Yes.
Hey, remember.
All right. Well, yeah. What do we?
There's
what do we,
good
what
leadership. What, and there's bad leadership.
I know, but
it's leadership.
Yeah, I know. But I wonder what I can do. All right. I don't know what goes on.
How close to the field are you going to be?
Oh, we got really good seats, but I'm thinking about pregame festivities. You know, this is Sunday night football going on here.
Oh yeah.
So can I? I wonder if you can watch the pregame. If you can get in there with a sign. You know what
I'm
mean?
Not sure. Yeah, yeah. I'll watch it. Damn straight. I'll watch it. Usually I'll watch the NFL Network because I can't take the fucking NBC crew. Every single one of them drives me nuts.
I know, but I want to hold up a sign that says, Al and Chris love the Bang Radio Hour.
Hell yes.
You know what I mean?
Hell yes. Hell yes. Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what? We've always asked fans to do that, and we did have one fan go down to Atlanta with a big placard of my little Generalissimo character that I had at Dan Snyder one time. And one of our listeners, Zoe from New Jersey, went to an Orioles game this year and sat right behind the dugout with a Bang sign.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
She was like literally like four seats off of where the camera would always go when they would show the right-handed batter when he was walking out of the box. She had it, though, man. She tried, so yay for her.
Damn. Well, I'll see what I can do.
That would be awesome. Everybody watch. Everybody look for Tom. And send
positive vibes down to Dallas so that Tom can get on television.
Ah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Mm. Get on Tyler's shoulders.
I just want to see the words Bang Radio Hour on that TV screen somehow, some way.
Ah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. That would make my day.
Yes.
And if the Redskins beat the Patriots, my God, dude, I would have 8 inches of my shaft in my hand instantly.
8 inches of his shaft in his hand.
Ah, you know what? You're 100% right. I sent you that clip of Al Michaels. I'm not even going to mention it now, but that's a million times better.
Right. That's good stuff, man. Oh, Bob yeah. Miller. Yep. Go, everybody go watch Bob Miller say that. Voice of the LA Kings. You will love to see his expression right afterward. It is priceless.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going right after this.
All right. Well, good luck to your Redskins. Well, who you got this week?
The Patriots.
Or you got a bye week.
Right. Our next game is the Patriots. Off of a 10-day layoff.
Ah, you bastard.
Yeah, but you're on a bye, too.
I get it, but we're the Redskins, and they're the freaking Patriots. They don't need a rest. We should get to play them, like, today. Friday,
all right.
Friday after they play the Dolphins. That's when we should get to play them. And they'd still beat us. You think they can go undefeated?
Oh, I think they can, absolutely.
I was looking at the Falcons, who've played the Giants once and won, and they played the Eagles, who it still remains to see whether they're going to be anything to even sneeze at or just a pile of shit. I still don't know. But other than that, they don't play a team potentially with a winning record till they play, I think, the Vikings in Week 12, and they might not have a winning record. They're 4-2 now. And then they have Carolina 2 out of the last 4 weeks. Dude, they're going to play one of the easiest schedules that there is.
All right, well, we'll do it again next time.
Next time, later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Tuesdays at KFC gonna get you like, wow, pow, chow, kapow, get down right now. If you know how, then take a bow, cause this deal's gonna raise a brow. Get 9 pieces of original recipe chicken for an eye-popping $5.99.
What the?
Every Tuesday at KFC. Every Tuesday from August 12th to September 3rd at participating restaurants, subject to availability.